This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I can't figure out the weather. It's up, it's down, it's in between.
It's up, it's down, it's in between, and we're all, we're nine days away from Christmas.
That's right. So what do you think it's going to be like? What do you think's going to happen?
I don't know. The way it's been going the last several weeks, who knows? It could be sunny and 90, or we could have a blizzard.
Oh, let's don't talk about the blizzard if you don't mind.
Well, if we have it now, it's all my fault because I just jinxed it.
That's exactly right. You know, you said blizzard in it. Oh, okay, blizzard. Be fine.
It's like Beetlejuice. If you say it enough times, it'll happen.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's give out the phone number for a change.
Let's do that.
Okay. 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store, Ivy Cottage.
I'm sure everybody's over there getting ready for Christmas.
They should be. I mean, because they have beautiful, beautiful things.
Yeah.
You know, their arrangements for Christmas are best in the world.
Ah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And I own an awful lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you go over there every day for lunch, I'm sure you've accumulated quite a mess variety.
I do try. I try to spend money. I think that's why women were put here. Did you know about that?
What? No.
To spend money.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing a very good job.
We like to do our part in life, by the way. And our lists are as long as the children's for Santa Claus.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I believe in lists. I think we should all give everybody a long list.
Well, have you been a good girl for Santa Claus this year?
I think so, but you know, you never know till Christmas morning. You know? But you know, one thing I've done for years, and my family thinks I'm crazy, is always give yourself something, put it under the tree, you'll forget what it is. Then on Christmas morning, you go, oh my gosh, here's this wonderful present.
Yeah. I tried that one year. I put it under the tree, and then I couldn't stop thinking about it, and then I ate it.
Uh-oh, it was candy.
It was candy.
Oh, my gosh. So you ate it before Christmas.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I couldn't stand it.
Oh, no, you couldn't stand knowing it was under there.
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, my gosh. I have never opened mine until Christmas morning.
Oh, well then you're a bigger person.
I do like to, I like to order a little something for myself.
Well, that's nice.
I think so, too. I think everybody ought to do it.
Sure, yeah.
And then if you don't get what you want from somebody else, you know you've got something you really want under the tree. I love the surprise. Oh,
very interesting way to gift yourself.
That's right. I'm worse than little children. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there. They can find case studies, find out what people have been making from past investments, and see what the potential is for yourself. Because in the end, this is all about growing your money so that you can retire happy and wealthy and early. But the key is to plan. Exactly. And happy. The last thing you want to do is plan poorly or not plan at all for retirement. And then all of a sudden it gets here and you're not ready. And then you think, uh-oh, I have to scale back my lifestyle. I have to start eating ramen noodles for every meal, and then maybe we can make it. That's not retirement.
No, that's not even happy retirement.
No.
And that's not the way it's supposed to work out. It's supposed to work out that when you walk out the door for that last time from your job, that you're smiling, you're happy, and you've got it all planned out.
Yeah.
You know, and that you know what's going to happen. So it's a wonderful thing. to do it right, do it early. And then when it comes time to retire, you're smiling. You know, you've got it done.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be any surprises. No one likes surprises.
No, no.
There's just nothing any worse than getting ready to retire, and you look at that bank account, and it's not what you wanted, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you've underestimated your income or underestimated your expenses, and things aren't working out the way that they should, or there's less money in there than you think, then you're going to start worrying, and then you're going to worry every day you get up, and you're not really going to have the capability of relaxing and enjoying your retirement. So you have to make sure that you plan. And then even after you're done with your job, even after you're in retirement, you still want to make sure that you're growing your money.
That's right. If your money isn't working, isn't growing, you know, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, now a lot of people, of course, are in the stock market. Well, we saw it the other day, plunged 300 points, you know, in just less than 5 minutes. You know, it didn't take it long to plunge. And you don't know. In other words, it is not a guarantee. You don't know what can go wrong. And with ours, at least you know what you're going to make. You know approximately when you're going to make it. You know if it goes over what it's going to cost you. So all the facts are there. And with stocks, we don't know the facts. All we know is you put up the money, and you're hoping to make a lot of money, but you don't know how it's going to work out yet.
Sure, you never
know.
You don't have those numbers. And it's impossible to actually plan something based on guesses.
Yes, it is. And I heard on Fox the other day, one of the analysts said, you know, it might be a good time for you to take half of your money out as your profit and then leave half in. And then that tells me something when they say that you might want to go to half of your profit where you'll know you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they're not sure if you're going to get the rest or not. They're not sure what's going to happen. So they're telling people now, you've probably made a lot of money. You need to go ahead and take it. Take that profit now. So that tells me that something could go wrong. It's not a guaranteed profit at all. You might get it, you might get more, and you might get a lot less.
I'm sure that would make people nervous when they're advising it's better to get half than none.
Well, that's what they said. It's better for you to go ahead and take half your profit now and not leave it all in. And, of course, you know, I've always said, you know, if you're getting toward retirement age, you're 50 years old, you want to be sure you've got enough for retirement. I would have it where that I knew what was going to happen to the money. And, of course, a life insurance policy, I think, is very safe. I mean, the people are going to die. They are sick. They have a terminal illness. You know, we've tried to take some of the guesswork out by getting terminally ill life insurance policies. Not just somebody who wants to sell a policy, but somebody we know that is not going to last long.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's you know, a 24-month policy, you're going to get 24%. You know, you're going to get it either early, on time, or late. You know, that's your biggest risk is when it is going to come due. The second risk that I can see is if a life insurance company ever went broke. And we haven't ever had that happen in Texas, so you know we're not worried about that. We're just worried about getting you fully invested, getting you started toward making enough money that you can retire. And if a person's got 10 years, 7 years, you know, they've got a pretty good chance of having the exact amount of money they're going to need.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing you would want to have happen is, say you are in the stock market, and that's your entire savings for retirement, and then say 5-10 years before you retire, all of a sudden something happens in the stock market, you lose everything like we saw in 2008, then you have to start over, and now you're in a big panic and you're really, really scrambling.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out, how much time do I have before I retire? Do I have enough time to make that money back up? Remember, the last time it took 5 years.
Wow.
I mean, we have to really think about that. You know, how secure do I need my money to be? And with a life insurance policy, what I love about it is that they never ask you to take less than a face value. they don't come back from Penn Life or New York Life and say, oh, by the way, we'd like for you to take 50 cents on the dollar. They're not going to do that.
No.
They're going to say, here is the money we owe you. Here's the check. And then for safety features, our checks go to the bank, made out to the bank, and then they pay the people. We're never involved in the people's money. And that's what I think is made us in business for many years, is we don't touch people's money. You know, we know that the bank needs to handle it. We pay the bank to be the trustee of everybody's account. And they also, another good feature is they pay the premiums. It's not one of those deals where you're saying, I hope they paid the premiums.
Mm-hmm.
You know they did because the bank takes care of it.
And I think another one of the factors is that's very important to note is that when things do happen, whether it's on the stock market like we've seen, or if it's some kind of event around the world, because we all know that worldly events can affect the stock market, sometimes in a good way and a lot of times not in a good way, and people end up losing money for things that they have no control over, things that you can't predict, things that you can't. I mean, it's like betting on the wind. And so when investing in a life insurance policy like this, whatever happens externally from that policy does not affect it at all.
That's right. In other words, any outside thing is not going to affect your policy. The only thing that's going to affect it is the health of the person that we have insured.
Mm-hmm.
As to whether it's going to come in early or on time. And as you know, in the last 2 months, we've had 8 policies mature.
Wow.
Now that's a lot in 2 months. And, we had those 2 old policies that we thought might not ever come in. You know, they came in, and that was good. And then all these others that have come due, 9 months, 7 months, 5 months, 6 months, 2 of them came in 6 months. And it's an amazing thing. The maturity on 3 of them was supposed to be 4 of 18 and 5 of 18. And here they came in 17.
Wow.
And, 10 of 17, they were supposed to come in 4 of 18. One of them was supposed to be come in February of 17. It came in, actual maturity was 11/17. It came in 2/17.
Oh, wow. So that's 5 months early.
5 months early. And then the other one was, invested 6/1/17, and it came due 11/23/17.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 6 months early. And so we had 9 months early, 7 months, 14 months early, 5 months, 6 months, and 6 months early.
And that is such a big deal, because what that means is that the investors can take that profit and turn around and reinvest it in another policy faster. It helps grow the money faster, and it helps it's almost like a domino effect. If this comes in early, then if maybe the next one comes in early as well, then that's just more money to invest faster. That's making more money quicker. On the other hand, say a policy comes in early, say 6 months early, and then the next one they invest in comes in maybe 3 months late, you're still 3 months to the good.
That's exactly right. And I've went over all these that came in. And what amazed me, the people were 55, 45, 64, 57, and 65.
Really?
So, yeah. Most of them were in their 50s. We had 171, but all the others were, as I say, pretty dadgum young for this to be happening to them. And we had colon cancer on there. We had liver cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, and tongue and esophageal cancer.
Wow.
So it's just amazing that all these did come in early, but we've had so many this year that's come in early. And so when we talk about the investment is solid. I feel like the investment's solid because it's a life insurance policy. And then what makes it even better is you've got that hope that it may come in early. And then, like you said, you can reinvest it again in the same year.
Yeah.
And so it really does help when you've got this type of investment. And you don't have just one. We're not just waiting for one policy to mature. We're waiting for a lot of policies to mature. They may have 5 to 8 policies with us. So this year, you know, I haven't added it up. I was going to do that, and I didn't get to it this week, to see who had had the most. I know we've got one that's had 7 policies mature this year.
Really? That's a little bit better than one every other month.
It is. And 7 policies, you know, they've made a lot of money this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that we need to note also is that if a policy does come in early, say it's a 24-month policy, and it comes in, well, just for simple math, we'll say it comes in 12, you still get the 24% profit. You just get it faster. It's not like they cut the profit depending on the maturity.
That's right. And a lot of people don't understand that when they first come in here to talk to me. They'll say, well, how much do I make if they come in early? I say, it's the same amount. You're still going to get the 24%.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to get it sooner. So it makes you a lot more money. If you annualize it, it made a lot more money.
So on the converse, what do people ask, okay, what if it comes in early, but what if it comes in late?
Okay, yes, they ask if it comes in late. You're still going to get the same amount. You're just going to get it later.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have had to have paid a little bit of premium.
And when we talk about paying premiums, and this is a really big deal, because I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, geez, if I have to start paying things and it eats into my profit. And we're talking about a very, very small percentage of that profit that might need to go to pay premiums, right?
Yes. The only large premium you've got is if it's one of those old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still going to talk about that because we still like, I believe, either 2 or 3 of those before they're out of our life. But the rest of them are very small. I had some the other day that were like $79 was their share. And sometimes it's $500. It could be, you know, $1,500, but it's still not very much money compared to what you've got in profit.
Exactly.
If it's a 20% profit on $100,000, that's $20,000.
Yeah.
So if you had to pay out in 2 years, $2,000, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's still an $18,000 profit. I mean, the ends totally justify the means here.
Yes, it does, because the profit is so large compared to what your premiums are.
Yeah.
So it's worth the risk of a tiny percentage going over.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them don't. And like I said, this year we've had more come in early than we've ever had. And I think we're toward $60 million profit for the year.
Holy smokes!
You know, I think $60 million payout for the year. I believe it's 60.
Wow, $60 million.
Yeah, I believe it is, because early in the year it was 50, and we've had a lot more come due since then. So, you know, it's just a simple process. You put the money in the life insurance policy, it matures, and you get paid.
Now, I think one thing we should probably point out, because, I mean, we are talking about massive amounts of profits. We're talking about probably, as far as most people can tell, this would probably be the safest investment available, is investing in a life insurance policy. But one thing we should mention is that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a thing where
we're not going to tell you you're ever going to get rich.
No.
But we will make you enough that you will certainly notice it.
It's part of a long-term plan.
It is a long-term plan. You have to have several policies in order for this to work. Because
mm-hmm.
if you've only got one, you know, and you've got $100,000 invested, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
But if you've got 3 to 7 policies, this isn't going to take very long.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the most we paid out to someone in profit this year, I think, is about $400,000.
Really?
And I'd have to go back and check it. I want to be sure I'm right when I say that. But I think that's about what that person has made.
Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but in the history of as many years as you've been doing this, has anybody ever done a one-and-done type of deal? Or has everybody invested multiple times?
They always do, because they see how much they can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they'll say, let me put more money in, let me invest in more policies. And they change the way they invest. Now, I've got people that invest a little bit different than everybody else. I've got one guy that says, no, I don't want any short-term ones. I want the 24 to 27 ones. Well, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, If I've got 24%, it comes in early. I've made a lot more. You know, I understand what he's thinking. But then some people will say, well, if it's 12 months and they come due in 10 to 12, I can redo that and make the same amount too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if it's 12% and you do it twice in 1 year, that's the same as the 24.
So what type of, and I know everybody's different and their situation is different and the long-term plan is different for everybody, but what do you prefer, the long-term policies or the short?
Well, I really do. I'm kind of like the guy. I love the 24 because the potential is so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it comes in early, I'll take that 24 and put it in another and make another 24 the rest of the year if it comes in like in 6 months. If it comes in at 12 and it was supposed to be 24, I've still got a chance, you know, to roll it again this year and make another, you know, maybe 20%.
Yeah.
So I like that. But it works both ways, and everybody has a different opinion. I have people that say, oh, I don't like that policy. I'll wait for the next one. And when they do, they go to the back of the list because we've got so many clients,
mm-hmm.
and they're all needing policies really bad right now. So, you know, we're putting them in policies as fast as we can.
And I know the general plan is to make sure that you're planned properly for retirement. But do you have any investors that prefer like a, because I know that diversity is also the key. Do you have some that prefer, yeah, I'll do a few long and I'll do a few short just to kind of keep it fresh and mixed up?
No, what we really do is say, okay, this is what this person's got. Let's invest in it.
Okay.
And that's the best way to think about it. Is think about the illness and how long that illness is going to last.
Okay.
And, you know, we've had several that were 30 months, and they came in like 12, 15 months because the person was sicker than what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't always tell how sick they are. But I know we had one the other day that we were bidding. It was 12 months, and they called us back and said, it's not 12 months, it's 2 months.
2 months?
So, you know, we don't even know, you know, if they've still got time to back out because they now know that the man's going to die in 2 months rather than 12. And sometimes that happens. We got that last report after we'd already bid it and already agreed to the terms, and then we find out the doctors say, no, he isn't even going to live 12 months. They got a new report and say he's going to live 2. So, you know, you just never know. And, you know, we have had several rescind. And, you know, last year, remember, in November, we had 3 policies rescind.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so
and we had another guy die this week. Another one just came in.
All right. So when that happens and all of a sudden, you know, the doctors have realized, oh, we predicted this to go on a little bit longer than it really will. And then they say it's only 2 months instead of 12. What happens? Do you just move on to the next policy, or is there any kind of thing that happens to investors? Or I mean, nobody's out anything, right?
If they rescind it, then we just have to start over. If they leave it like it is, we're okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had one last month that the man died right after we finished the contract, and we figured his family would demand a rescission, even though, you know, it had closed. And they said, no, you've already done it. We'll stand by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first one I ever had that the family said, we'll stand by it.
Well, that was pretty nice of them. They didn't have to do that, I guess.
They did not have to do it. They could say, we demand a rescission because he died within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, the main goal for everybody, whether it's family members or investors or whatever the case may be, the goal is for everybody, once they're diagnosed with cancer, is to fight it and get the proper treatment and to fight it and live many, many more years. However, reality says that that's not always the case. And so the policies that you're looking for, the ones that you're looking to bid on and hopefully eventually buy, are all diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
That's right. We're going to try to always stay with that. Because lots of times it'll start out at stage 3. But by the time we get it, it goes to stage 4.
That
means they've had it a year.
Does that tell you when it advances that? Does it say, okay, this is a much more aggressive cancer than what we thought? Does that get your attention a little bit more?
Well, if I can see that his progression is progressing on the cancer and that the chemo and the radiation is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it will say, we see very little advance of treatment. Well, that tells you it did not help.
Okay.
That they were trying, but it did not work.
So you're always looking for stage four cancers. How do you know? I mean, what kinds of things? Because you've done this for a long time, but I know you're not a medical doctor. So you know.
You didn't know that
things.
Dr. Bagby?
You're great with diagnosing the flu, but I'm not sure about if it goes any further than that. Or maybe a boo-boo on your finger you're great for.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
So when you look at these policies, what kinds of things are you looking for? What kinds of things stand out?
Well, first of all, I'm looking to see how many times they've been in and out of the hospital. Was it operable? If it was not operable, then we've got to really bid hard on it, because if it's not operable, they're not going to live a whole year. They'll probably live less than a year. On pancreatic cancer, most times it's not operable. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of them that they have resectioned. If they resection on a cancer, usually they've got 2 years. So we look for that. We look and see if they were obese. We see what all cancer treatments they've had and which ones they thought were making a little progress and which ones aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And how long it's been going on is real important. On breast cancer, we usually try to get the ones that it's the second go-around, that they had cancer maybe in 7 or 9, and it did not work. It's come back. And when it comes back with a vengeance. It's worse than was the first time, and they will not survive. In fact, on this deal, let's see how many breast cancer deals we had this last month that did not survive. Let me see. Okay.
Would you say that breast cancer is probably the main diagnosis that you're looking for?
No, it's not the main one, but we certainly do take them. This lady was 45. She had stage 4 with lymph nodes, and it was in her bones.
No.
The other one, it went to her liver, her lungs. She was a heavy drinker and a heavy smoker.
Mm.
And that's what you've got to look for. And if they have hepatitis B complications, and it goes to the liver. Well, as you know, with those complications, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And then if they've had alternative treatment, I talk about that all the time. Don't go and have the orange juice treatment. Don't go have the oil treatment. Please go try to save yourself by doing standard first, okay?
Because when somebody does some kind of alternate treatment like that, basically
it speeds it up.
Right. They've almost wasted, say 6 months of time when they could have been doing things like chemo and radiation and things like that.
That's exactly right. So they're going to die, in my opinion, 6 months earlier because of that. So if it says it's already spread to the bones or the vertebrae, I'm right in there pitching for that policy.
So once
I know those people will not last long.
Yeah, and you've seen it over and over and over.
Over and over. We've done it again and again.
Once that diagnosis is made from the doctors and they tell the policyholder, okay, you've got stage 4 cancer, we expect you to make it this long, at that point the policyholder decides, okay, I need to go ahead and sell my policy. I need to just basically cut my losses, sell the policy, and there's a number of things that they want to do with that money.
Well, if they think they've still got a good chance, they're going to give the doctor as much money as he calls for, and it's usually $10,000 a month. Or if he wants to do something really far out with them, they're going to need the money. So they're going to need quite a bit of money. Then remember, these guys like these are 55 years old. They're still working. They need the money because they can't work once it goes to stage 4. Nobody can.
Yeah.
So they're going to need a lot of extra money for their family. And a lot of them just want to get settled with the family. If it's a large policy, it's somebody that's got a lot of money but wants to settle up before they leave, and they know they're leaving.
Okay. So there's a couple of reasons. And so in order for them to sell that policy, they need somebody there who's going to buy it, and you're bidding along with other companies to gain these policies. Is there a limit? Is there a threshold that you come across? You decide, okay, when it gets to this amount, I'm not going to bid anymore because the profit margin is compromised. How do you decide where the cutoff is?
Well, when it gets to a certain point, we can't make any money. And we have to make just a little bit of money, and our client isn't going to make much, so we pull out. But we know where we have to stop, and we bid all the way down as far as we can, because we're trying desperately to get policies every day of our life.
So once you win the bid and you're awarded the policyholder gets their money, and then they're out. And at that point, it becomes strictly a business transaction, an investment opportunity. And so you invite people in to invest in the policy. And then when the policy matures, that's when they get their money.
That's right. Every time there's a maturity, they get paid. And so it works out real well. And these are almost exclusively IRAs. Almost everybody has an IRA with us. Mm-hmm. So when that IRA, we roll it over and we roll it over again and again until they say they don't want to invest. But most people, even after they retire, are going to want us to handle the money and to make them more money.
So as long as we're just rolling over, we don't have to pay gobs of fees and taxes and,
no,
and all that.
No, there's no fees. In other words, the government can't come in and demand anything until you're 70 and a half, and then you've got to start paying the government back for your accumulation.
Mm-hmm. So what is the average age of a typical investor? If somebody's, say, in their mid-50s, say somebody is 60 years old. They say, okay, I want to retire when I'm 68. What kinds of things do you look at? Because, you know, like we say, this is all part of a retirement plan. And so what do you do? How do you put together, you know, the plan going
forward?
Well,
we're going to look
this?
And see what they're making now. We know that when they retire, they're going to still want to make the same amount. So we have to start building as if they weren't even getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're making $200,000 a year, we've got to put enough money together that when they retire, they'll still get $200,000 a year. You know, if they're making where they only want $100,000, you know, we're going to take that in consideration, and we're hoping that they've got more than $100,000 because it's going to be a tough sled if they have nothing but $100,000.
Yeah.
So our people, most of them have $300,000, $500,000, or even $1,000,000, and some of them have more than that. But and then if let's say they put $1,000,000 with us, well, they can do at least 10 policies.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are going to do 8 probably because they're going to put in a little bit more. But they'll be ready to retire, you know, in 5 to 7 years.
And then I think one of the dark areas where people don't really know what to do is after retirement, because once you're retired, at that point you no longer have income through your paycheck. You still want to be able to grow your money, and you want to do it in a safe way. You don't want to put it in a type of situation where it can be compromised and you can lose, you know, all of your retirement overnight. And so this is a way to keep that going and still do it in a safe way.
That's right. And so, you know, even after they retire, we're going to be handling their money. We'll be sending them checks. We'll be keeping enough money in their bank account. You know, if they say keep $200,000 out, we make sure that all the time they've got $200,000. If they want $100,000 a year, we're going to make sure there's $100,000 a year out of their income. So
because
it depends how much they're going to want per year.
Because the investment itself is not liquid.
No, it's not liquid till it matures, and we tell people that every day. Remember, you cannot take it out until it matures. You cannot spend it till it matures.
So when you're in, you're in. But most people have a separate account or whatever
yes,
you call
they
it,
do.
Where they can
actually spend
money.
That's right. And most of them have a savings account. They have money in other accounts, and we make sure they have that when we start with them. We say, how much emergency money do you have? How much other spending money do you have? And we know all that. So we know how we're going to build it, and we can build it safely because we don't have to worry about them having enough money.
So after retirement, people can still travel. They can still go get a boat. They can still, you know, go out to dinner and still have another pile of money where they're growing. And so there's plenty of things, there's plenty of pieces of the pie for everybody once they retire.
That's exactly right. Mm. And once they retire, they shouldn't have to worry. They can travel. We've already made arrangements for, you know, how much they're going to need a year, whether it's $50,000 or $100,000 for travel per year. And we've already worked that out. And as I said, it takes a while. You can't do it overnight.
Yeah. But it's all part of that planning process, and this is part of the plan that you put together, not only up to retirement, but after retirement, and you can make sure that everybody is really at ease and retire comfortably and healthy and happy and early.
That's right. And the only way you can do that is to get started now. You can't procrastinate your way out of it or procrastinate your way to wealth. It doesn't work.
At some point, it's too late.
That's exactly right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always talk about fun things. If it's a place to put on our bucket list, a place to visit, a thing to do. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about a singer.
Ooh.
Do you remember the singer Marty Robbins?
Oh, I love Marty. Out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
That's what I was thinking about. He was born September 26, 1925.
Wow.
Where do you think he was born?
I'm going to guess El Paso, but I think I'm wrong.
You're wrong. And he was actually born in Arizona. Yes. It's an amazing story. There is one of nine children.
Really? Nine children?
Yes. Nine children. His dad was an amateur harmonica player. Now, his grandfather, who he's very close to, was a traveling salesman and a first-rate storyteller. And his name was Texas Bob Heckle.
Ooh.
And he had two little books of poetry he would sell. And he said he used to sing him church songs, and he would tell me stories. And he says a lot of the songs he wrote were brought out because of the stories he told. Like Big Iron, he said, I wrote it because he's a Texas Ranger. He said, at least he told me he was. I don't think he was ever a Texas Ranger. Okay? But he was inspired by Gene Autry.
Hmm.
And he would work out in the cotton fields before school to save up enough money to see Gene Autry. And he said he would sit in the front row of all those pictures, close enough so I could have gotten sand in the eyes from the horses and powder burns from the gun.
Oh, wow.
He was his favorite singer. No one else inspired him. And his parents divorced when he was 12. And his eight siblings, they moved with their mother to Phoenix. Then he dropped out of high school. You know, most of these really good singers never finished high school, did they?
Oh, yeah.
And him and his brother spent their time herding goats.
Goats?
And then goats. And then they were breaking wild horses in the Bradshaw Mountains just outside of Phoenix. He was in the Navy in 1943 during World War II. He served in the Pacific. It was the first time he'd ever been out of Arizona. And he participated to recapture the island of Bougainville from the Japanese forces. And that's when he decided he was going to sing, and he taught himself to play the guitar while he was in the Navy.
He taught himself?
He taught himself. He got back to Phoenix in 46, and he started singing in local bands, bars, nightclubs, anywhere around that would have him. And he played at a club named Fred Karras. And then he worked construction in the day. And one day he was driving a brick truck. He heard a country singer on one of the stations, KPHO. And he said, I can do better than that. And it made him mad. He drove right down to the station and earned a place on that show. I mean, that's how convinced he was.
It made him mad.
Yeah. And then he had his own radio show. It was called the Chuck Wagon Time. And then he had his other show, Western Caravan. And then he got on Columbia Records in 1951. And the following year, he released his first song. Do you remember what his first song was?
No.
Love Me or Leave Me Alone.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was in the top singles in 53 with I'll Go On Alone. And another one, I Couldn't Keep You From Crying. And then he was invited to the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, how cool.
And, over the next 25 years, he was on the Grand Ole Opry.
Really?
And he started with Chet Atkins, Jimmy Rogers, and Mother Maybelle and the Carter Sisters.
Really?
Yeah, remember them?
Yeah.
Mother Maybelle, I always remembered her. And then his first number one single was Singing the Blues.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the next one in 1957 was A White Sport Coat.
Oh,
remember that?
Yes.
Oh, I love that song. And then Knee Deep in the Blues, Don't Blame Me, and he was on the rise. And then in 1959, he released an album. It's called Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs.
Cool.
And that was when he had El Paso on there.
Love it.
And I've never forgotten. That's one of my very, very favorite songs.
Yeah, it is.
And it said he had a flair for storytelling, just like his grandfather.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, and his most famous track was Devil Woman. Remember that?
I do, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The cowboy in the continental suit, Ruby Ann, and Ribbon of Darkness. Oh, my gosh, I love that Ribbon of Darkness.
Cool.
This guy was so smart. But in the meantime, he began auto racing. Do you remember that?
Marty Robbins was an auto racer?
Yes, in the 1960s. He started out on small dirt tracks. By the end of that decade, he was on small local races to the NASCAR Grand National. And he was competing with Richard Perry and Cale Yarborough on the NASCAR circuit. Then he had a heart attack in the 1960s, but that didn't sidelock him for very long. In 1969, he scored his biggest hit in years with My Woman, My Woman, My Wife.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's when he got that second Grammy Award.
Yeah.
And then he kept racing, and he had several near-fatal accidents. And in his fearlessness and compassion, he swerved into a concrete wall at 145 miles an hour to avoid hitting a fellow racer's car that stalled.
Wow.
Yeah. I just can't believe he was doing that. He was inducted into the Country Hall of Fame in 1982, although he was very ill by that time. He released one last single, Some Memories Won't Die. But he had his third heart attack and died a few days later in 1982. And he was survived by Marizona. They'd been married since 1948 and had two kids.
Wow, 1948.
Yes, and not like all the others that had, you know, 15 wives and all that. I mean, he had the same wife all of his life. That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Well, you don't hear that very often.
No, and he recorded 500 songs and 60 albums and won two Grammy Awards.
500 songs?
500 songs.
Wow, that's like in the territory of like Elvis and George Strait.
Yeah. Wow. And you know what he said one time? I'm really not a very good musician, but I can write a pretty song.
Yeah, well, now that's true. That he could write a pretty song. Marty Robbins was he really was a great storyteller.
He really was. And it's all because of his grandfather, because his grandfather told him so much all those years being a salesman.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But I loved his songs. And of course, El Paso is my very, very favorite.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think it's probably, when people think of Marty Robbins, that's probably the one big song that they think of.
It really is. And the white sports coat, I loved it too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But I just had such fond memories. I loved to have my radio on and be listening to him. I really did.
Such a legendary singer. And, you know, I guess I either forgot or whatever. I don't remember him being into auto racing. I don't know why.
And he was big, and he was in the NASCAR circuit.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of them just didn't mind the risk, did they?
No.
They knew how dangerous it was. He knew for years that he had a bad heart, by the way.
Yeah.
And he just kept going.
Well, he didn't let that sideline him, for sure.
He did not let it sideline him. And he kept recording, and he knew he should slow down, and he did not do it. And he knew he needed to get out of NASCAR, and he wasn't going to do that either.
Well, I think there's something to it when they say, you know, do what you love, and you'll live forever.
Well, he tried to live forever, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, even in spirit. I mean, he was such a great dude, so talented in so many different areas.
He really was, and you never heard any scandal about him.
Yeah, you really did.
Nowadays, they're all scandals are just pouring out.
Yeah.
I mean, just still, you know, the buckets are full.
They're full and tipping over.
He was one of those clean-cut guys, and to be married since 1948, I really applaud him for that.
Yeah, that is really something spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, all these other guys I read about, they've had five wives.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, five.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is.
But anyway, I thought that'd be interesting about him this morning.
Yeah, love Marty Robbins. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And across the street from the new CVS.
Oh, nice. So now that we're into the final 2 weeks or so of the year, what happens at this time of year? Is there something that people should be doing? Does the investment landscape change at all, or is it just as though it was the middle of August?
Well, no, it's not like the middle of August. A lot of people for the end of the year like to put more money with us that they want to invest for the following year. So now's a good time to move that last money over for investment for the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would like to do that, and that's what we do right here at the end of the year. And if they've got an IRA, if they're 70 and a half, they have to remember, we'll be sending them how much they have to take out of their IRAs.
Okay.
Because if you don't, there's a 50% penalty.
So there is some year-end paperwork that needs to be done.
Yes, there is. Uh-huh.
All right.
And then they've just got to turn around and make more money.
Now, you make it sound so easy. Now, for somebody who hasn't
it's
started.
It's a passive investment. They don't have to do a thing.
Well, yeah, and it's a good point you bring up. It is a passive investment because you're not up all night. You know, you don't get up at midnight or 3 a.m. and go online. You have to check anything. You basically set it and forget it.
That's exactly right.
No worries about it going down. No worries about losing profits. No worries about what's going on.
No, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to go down in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You don't have to get up, like we said, and run in there to the computer and say, oh, my gosh, well, how's my investment? Did the market crash?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's every investor, that's their thought every day. What if it goes down? They have to watch it.
When you have somebody new invest with you, and they've never done this before, and they've gone through the process the first time, what's their reaction when they realize how relaxed they can actually be?
It changes their life, because a lot of people tell me, Faye, I didn't realize I could really relax till after we did this.
Yeah.
And after we did it, they really did relax.
Because we're talking about a lot of money, first of all, and we're also talking about your future. And when there's that possibility of your entire future and your entire savings could get wiped out at the drop of a hat, that is very, very nerve-wracking, especially when you have no safety net of a paycheck and you're already in retirement. You could lose everything overnight in some circumstances, but with an alternative investment like this, you don't have to do that.
Well, what I always tell them, if they're in the stock market, just feel like, say, okay, how much can I afford to lose?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you can afford to lose, leave in the stock market. Whatever you can't afford to lose, bring over to us. That's the way I look at it. If you can afford to lose the whole thing, just let it sit there. If you can't, don't do it.
Yeah, it's very simple. Have you ever had anybody come in and say, you know, Faye, I'm in the stock market right now, and I'd really like to lose everything?
No, I haven't ever heard anybody say they want to lose everything. I've had a lot of people come over and say, Faye, I've already moved it into cash.
Uh-huh.
It's in cash. Let's invest it.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I'm sure a lot of people say, I should have done this sooner.
Oh, they all say that. I should have done it last year.
Wow. All right. So for somebody who is who has not started the process, this is not something that you need to be scared of. I think a lot of people procrastinate because they're afraid of it. They don't want to face.
Men procrastinate. Don't say a lot of people. Men.
Yeah, well.
Men procrastinate.
Men procrastinate. My bad.
Bless their hearts. They just don't want to get too far ahead.
Well, it seems like a daunting task. It almost seems like you're trying to climb Mount Everest if you haven't started planning for retirement. And it really isn't that way at all. You do it in little steps, one investment at a time.
That's right.
And so,
you know, everybody, like you say, when they invest with us, then they put more money in after they see how well it works, mm-hmm. you know?
So the point is, it's time to go ahead and do it. It's not anything to be afraid of. It's not this huge, giant task in front of you. You'll walk people through it step by step. You'll get some information. You'll find out when they want to retire, how old they are now, how many years do they have, what do they have to work with, and you'll map something out. And people can be very comfortable. People will be very safe. They'll understand it. They want to come in and get some information. That's cool. I imagine a lot of people do that. And then they go home and talk it over with their wife, right?
Well, yes, if they did bring the wife with them.
Yeah.
Now, lots of times the wife now usually comes with them. Used to, they never did.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, if the wife doesn't come with them, they need to come and talk to me. Go home and explain it to her. And then bring her back and I'll explain it to her.
You'll explain it to her the right way.
Yes, I will.
So the point
is, that's just what goes.
It is time to get started. And so you've got some investment opportunities, right? You've got your bidding on things all the time.
Every moment of my life. And we're closing a lot of them, so you know that's where we're at.
Yeah, so you're bidding on more policies. There's more opportunities coming in. We obviously we're going into the new year, and this is the time. Make 2018 the year that you really want to go ahead and start growing your money. So you've got a availability for some appointments, right?
Yes, we do, and we've just only got one more week that we'll be working. You know, so everybody needs to get busy. Whatever money they need to transfer to us. They need to get it done.
So what kinds of things should somebody do today? Before they call you to make an appointment to come see you, what should somebody do right now?
Well, they need to see what money and what account they're wanting to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, okay, we want to take money out of this account maybe or this account. So they need to go look all that up and all see right. what they want to do, okay?
Figure up their assets, I assume, also, right?
That's right. Put all your assets together to see what you really need to do. Do you have old annuities that are... not making any money. Let's see what you're in.
Right.
Are you in? We had some people the other day cashed in some bonds that weren't making anything. Municipal bonds right now are not making anything, apparently.
Yeah.
So they just need to look at everything, okay?
Well, if your money is not making money, then it's losing money.
That's right. Either you're making money or not. If you're not, come over and see us and talk to us about it.
And whatever you do, don't just pop in because Faye's very, very busy. Go ahead and make an appointment, and the number to make that appointment is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.